But we just read a scripture that said, don't stand on the street corner, pray so that others can see. So what's going on with that? It's different. I hope your heart says that's different. When Brian was praying this morning, he was leading us into the presence of our King. And so that we can corporately come before Him to ask for His favor. Whereas what Jesus is talking about in this is those who are using spiritual things for their own benefit, for the esteem that comes from others. I want to make that clear because sometimes we get into a mode where we say, well, you know, it says right there, don't pray in public, because it says right there, don't pray in public where people can see you. But we're missing the point. Jesus is not talking about the act of praying in public. He's talking about your attitude when you're praying in public. And it's the same things for us. I want to begin today to flow into something that we need to realize. This year and next year are quite consequential for this congregation and for some people who are involved in serving this congregation. This year marks the 95th anniversary of the KZ Church of God. It's formed 95 years ago. Yeah, pretty awesome, isn't it? Next year marks 150 years of KZ White Oak Church. White Oak Church. That we now live together as KZ White Oak Church. 150 years of trial, tribulation, wars, splits, good things that happen, bad things that happen. But what has happened through all of those years is Christ has been lifted up. On personal levels, did you know that next year is Carol's 30th anniversary serving this church? I will also share with you that next year and the year after that marks 50 years of ministry for myself and my bride. So these are years of consequence. And so it should be that they are years of consequence for us too, individually. I've had the opportunity and the blessing to hear God's call shortly after I became a Christian. And He has taken both of us on many adventures. Probably so many adventures, you don't want to hear about it. Okay? Because it starts to sound like bragging. But if I ever talk about things that are done for the sake of the kingdom, I want it to be so that He is lifted up. And so that He is giving glory. Can I tell you, every adventure that God has asked me to go into, I went into it with fear and trembling, not pride. And when we got to the end of it, there are plenty of them where I was not proud of how I did it. Now I can sit and I can wallow, or I can look back and I can say, it is Christ who has been my sufficiency. It is Him who fills in my gaps. Something stretched me beyond what I thought I could do. That's because I had such a low esteem of myself. I would have said, no, I can't do that in my own humanness. But God saw something different in me, and He called me to something that He knew I could already do. That made a different me. But on the other hand, there are some things He called me to do that I knew I didn't think that I could do. And He also knew I couldn't do it. Because He was going to show up and show off. You know what? I'm okay with that too. The times where I stepped in and where it looked like I failed, I know that He fills in the gaps. Even when I did things for applause. There were those who opposed Paul. And some came to Paul and said, they're over there, they're preaching, you know, like this. And they're your enemies, you know. And Paul said, look, I don't care if they're enemies. If they're preaching the gospel, let them go. Because Christ is faithful to his church. Isn't that good news for us? Amen. Christ is always faithful to his church. Sometimes we can look at pastors who have failures or leaders that have failures and say, why does God let that go on? Because God is faithful to his church. And until the right time comes, that leader stays in the position. Because God is faithful to his church. Jesus keeps filling my gaps and deficiencies. And actually, if you ask me to elevate my works, I tell you, I can't do that. I've realized that there are a couple of reasons for it. I know scripturally I shouldn't do that. But also, age is helping me out a little bit. I can't remember a lot of them. But you know, when the things that I have done are forgotten, they're remembered in heaven. Especially the ones that were pleasing and fragrant to my Lord. John the Baptist himself started, when he was in prison, he made this declaration talking about Jesus. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. That means it's natural for the things that we have done to fade, but the things that were worth it in eternal value continue to lift our Christ so that he is seen, maybe even more so by ourselves and also by other people. Excuse me. What I've done diminishes in time, but who I have done it for increases through eternity. Works themselves fade, and what remains is the one who walked with me through it. So when we do enter into celebration, and I pray that we do have some events next year, you know, for this group that we call KZ White Oak Church, it's good to look back, and it's good to celebrate, and it's good to look at people and say, I remember when you taught Sunday school, and that made a difference in me. I remember when you dug out the bottom so that we could build this church. I remember when you were putting shingles on. I remember when you did office work. I remember you leading worship. I remember you reading every day. I remember. Let it be that the body of God remembers what you did. You hear that? It is good for us to remember what somebody else did and lift it up and celebrate it. Because that encourages us as disciples. In our scripture here, there are two rewards. One that fades and one that lasts. Now, in what Jesus said, there were rewards in both of them. The one who stands on the corner and prays to be seen by others still gets a reward, the earthly reward of maybe not as much as they think, but accolade, admiration, that they can pray so well. Admiration that they pray so well. See, the thing that I love about the prayers here is that they are so personal and real as we talk to God. Brian is not trying to impress you with how flowery his prayer was. I don't think he really cares what you thought of his prayer. I think he cares what Jesus thinks of his prayer. And that's the same thing for us. So there is an earthly reward to it, and we all can peg the ones who are after that, can't we? You get that little feeling inside that something's a little bit misdirected here. Don't mistake it. Some of the things that we think are off are perfectly acceptable in God's sight. But Jesus compares a different type. And that is one where the primary focus for bringing pleasure is bringing pleasure to the Heavenly Father. And walking in concert with what His will is and where He wants things to go. They have received their reward, past tense, fading glory, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And that will is in a tense where it could be happening now and will continue on into the future. It is something that lasts. So reward, if I can put it in a sentence, our reward is there. I'm going to come back to that. We don't want to, you know, in our sensibilities, especially where we live, Midwest, we don't want to seem like we're puffing ourselves up or, you know, getting big heads or things like that. But when it's something that God is doing, it needs to be repeated. It needs to be encouraged. We are told in Scripture that we're supposed to be encouragers. It was Barnabas who took Paul to the council so that they would know that he is no longer a persecutor, a snake in the grass, but testified on his behalf so that they would know that he was a real believer. And so it is for us. We encourage each other. We say, I see you. I see Christ in you. As far as I can see, I think Christ is pleased with you. Wouldn't that be a great word for us to receive? We get used to each other and we forget to encourage each other. I've had in the last 2 months, two people just come up and say, I think you're doing good. I think you're doing a good job. That was two in the last 3 years, okay? I must have really needed it. Okay, others say it in different words. Sometimes it's a card, sometimes it's just a nod and a smile. But everybody who is in service of the Lord needs encouragement. And I would hope that that means that every person in this room needs encouragement. Because you are serving the God and Father of the universe. Let that sink in. God helps us be a pleasure to Him. Wow. I have to admit, being in a drama group, it was ministry, absolutely. But there were times where I really wanted the applause. There were times where it really pumped me up if I could make people laugh and know that they had a good time. Now that's something the Lord has had to deal with me on. Because quite frankly, nobody's ever stood up and clapped after a sermon. And I'm not asking for that. But as I have grown and as I have matured a little bit, I've realized that even in that time, He can take what is fallible and make it perfect for His work and for His will. If we wait as Christians and as believers till we get everything exactly right and all of our ducks in a row, there are two problems with that. You can put all your ducks in a row, and by the time you get up and start to serve, your ducks are not in a row anymore. And secondly, we waste a lot of time and may never step into service. Because God does not ask us for perfection. God asks us for submission. And wow, do we ever learn and grow and even in the hard times find joy flowing out of us where it doesn't seem like it belongs. We talk about peace that passes understanding. Let's talk about joy that passes understanding. Because it doesn't look like you should have it there, but because you know the joy of walking with your Savior and walking with your Father, it is there. And can I tell you, other people will notice that you are different because of it. Other people will be attracted because of it. Nobody's going to come to this church if you're talking with them and you talk about how busy you are and you say, come and do some things with me. When they're going to come is you say, you know, I was scared to death. I stepped into this. I am having a ball. sacrificing for Jesus. I'm out of a blast, and joy is there, and I'm different. Things are changing in my life. God is real. That's what people are looking for, is God being real. And God turns around and says to us, I want to be real in you. And I want to communicate my goodness through you. We might seek applause, recognition, reputation, financial gain, any of those things. But here is another level of reward. The Father who sees. I used to think that was a scary thing. You know, the Father sees me changing my clothes. You know, does the Father see when I'm taking a shower? You know, it doesn't matter to Him. He's seen it all. But He sees what we do in our closet. He sees when we sing in our car. He sees when all of a sudden the Lord motivates you and says, get up and cook a meal and take it over there. And you do. But nobody else saw you except the one who prayed. The Father sees. The Father knows. He knows what your motivation of your heart is. And if you are on a trajectory to know Him even more, the Father walks with you. And that's a thing that motivates me. And my heart starts to sing because I look back at some of the things that I have done and the things themselves, the details of it, are fading into history. But what I can do is look back and say, God was with me there. Excuse me. God was in it, and God has always been in it. There were times where in India, I'm not bragging here, I'm bragging on Him. We were in Mussoorie at the foothills of the Himalayas. And we were at a school called Mussoorie. It's a Western school, so they spoke English. But this was the layout of it. The school was up here, and then there was about a 5-foot wide winding path that came down here to the athletic facility and the dormitories. We were asked to come up and do a little drama workshop for their drama team. When we got out, there were no lights. It was dark. This was so steep. Now, I could throw a rock 30 feet. If I had stood at the top and just tossed a rock like this, it would have hit the roof on the dormitories 6 switchbacks down. And there were no lights. And I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to get down there? And I look over, and in the wall of it, there are these looks like little glow beads. You know what I'm talking about? You know how we got fascinated with glow sticks and glow, watches that glowed in the dark, and the stars that we glue on our ceilings. Just little beads in it. And I started following those down, and when the lights went out, I started to look this way and went all the way down. You know, we have a Father of lights. I talked to somebody the next day. I said, that was a great idea, putting those glow beads in the wall. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, the glow beads that help you get down the path. He said, we don't have glow beads. There was a worm. It was the time of year for that worm to be out. And it had a glowing tail. The Father of lights gave me the light. Get down to the bottom. And I want to use that as a metaphor. First off, I want to tell you, not everything is miraculous, except that it comes from our Heavenly Father. But our Father is there to provide what we need in the time of it. I was lucky enough, blessed enough to see that it was God who was doing it. Now, one thing that I want to point out too, in Scripture, it talks about levels of rewards. Jesus constantly uses this type of language. Some people might say, I talked to someone this week and they said, yeah, well, we don't talk about rewards because everybody gets the same thing. I said, what do you mean? Well, there's the parable of the workers. The one comes in the morning, he gets hired, and he goes into the field. And then somebody comes at noon, they get hired and go in the field. Somebody gets hired at 1 o'clock, and they go into the field. And at the end of the day, they all get the same pick. That isn't the only way that rewards are looked at. You see, in the area of salvation, have any of us earned what we've gotten? No. And we all, by faith, through grace, receive salvation, don't we? So we could say we've all received the same thing. But there are also times where both Jesus and Paul talk about rewards with a stratus, a level. If you do this, if you are this way, great is your reward. If you do this, you are among the least. I am glad for people who accept Jesus Christ even on their deathbed. But what I lament is they have given away a life of knowing Him walking with them through everything. He has still been there, but they've been unaware of it to be able to rejoice. So Jesus, and in fact, there are between 15 and 20 references in the New Testament about rewards. And I will counter your parable about the workers in the field with the tenants who were given talents. And the ones who, one who had, according to his ability, I think in the NIV it talks about 5 bags of gold. He was given 5 bags of gold and he came back and he had 10 bags of gold. And the Lord applauded that. The one that had 2 bags brought 4. And the Lord applauded that. The one who had 1 brought back 1. He was not applauded. The Lord said, you should have at least invested it. You should have at least brought what you had and brought gains so that I can reward you. And now listen to this. The one who had 5 who now has 10 gets the 1. So now you've got somebody with 4 and somebody with 11. There are different rewards. But listen to this. According to the ability given to them. The one was not expected to produce 10. We are just expected, and this is where we are level, to bring fruit. We were made for joy. Why would Jesus even talk about, having a reward? Doesn't that sound very transactional? You turn in this criminal, you get this money. I saw something yesterday. Oh, I think it was an old Jay Leno thing. Stupid criminals. There was a guy who went into a place, stole $300 out of the till. And then he read in the paper there's a $4,000 reward, so he turned himself in. And got 25 years in jail. But doesn't this sound sounds strange to talk about reward? But reward, when Jesus talks about it, is not manipulation. It is motivation. You say, well, why would Jesus use motivation like that? Because he made us that way. Do any of you know a farmer that plants a field but never plans to harvest it? The joy is in the harvest, isn't it? We talked about that last week.